জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় গোপী জনবল্লভ কৃপাধারী, জয় গোপী জনবল্লভ কৃপাধারী, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজচন্দ্ররঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজচন্দ্ররঞ্জন, যমুনাক্ষীরবনচারী, যমুনাক্ষীরবনচারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় গোপী জনবল্লভ কৃপাধারী, জয় গোপী জনবল্লভ কৃপাধারী, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজচন্দ্ররঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজচন্দ্ররঞ্জন, যমুনাক্ষীরবনচারী, Krishna Chari. Yamna Chira Vana Chari. Madhava Punjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vardhari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paramijakacharya Asta Tadasuta Sri Sri Mati's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Anathakuti Vaishnava Rinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakura Ki Jaya Prem Sukaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Ishamakunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhana Ki Jaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam this is the first canto, the ninth chapter, and the 35th verse. That was up there? Yeah? Okay. Sapadi Sakivacha Nishamya Madhye sorry Nija Hariyo Balayo Vatam Nivesha Stitavati Parasainaka Ayur Akshna Ritavati Purta Sakhe Rati Mama Astu Sapadi Sakivacho Nishamyamadye Nijapara Yobala Yoratam Navesha Stitavati Parasanakayu Akshna Ritavati Partasa Keratir Mamastu Sapadi Saki Vacho Nishamya Madhye Nijapara Yobala Yoratam Navesha Sitavati para sanikayo akshna Ritavati partha sakiratir mamastu Sapadi sakiva chunishamya madhye Nijapara yobalai ratam nivesha Sitavati para sanakayur akshna Ritavati partha sakiratir mamastu Saki vacho nisham yamade Sitavati para sanikayo akshna Sitavati parta sakirtir manamastu Nijya parayo balayo ratam nivesha Sitavati para sanikayo akshna Sitavati parta sakhevati mamastu Ladies, please. Siddhavati para sanikayo akshna. Hidavati partasa kevatir mamastu. Sapati saki vacho nishamya madye. Male section. It's only one line. Oh, okay. It's a body. Is it a vati para sani kaya? Vitavati partha sakirati in mamaste sapadi. It's not akshna. What is it? It's akishna? Okay, you all heard that. Akishna. It's not akshna? Okay. I never claimed to be a Sanskrit scholar, so forgive me. Sapadi? On the battlefield. Sakhi vachaha? Command of the friend. Nishamya? After hearing. Madhye? In the midst. Nija, his own, Parayo, and the opposite party, Balayo, strength, Ratham, chariot, Nivesha, having entered, Stitavati, while staying there, Parasainika, of the soldiers, on the opposite side. Ayu, duration of life. Akshna, Akishna, what? Akishna, was that it? Huh? Yeah? Okay, Akishna, by looking over, Ritavati, act of diminishing, Partha, of Arjuna, son of Pritha, Kunti. Sakhe, unto the friend. Rati, intimate relation. Mama, my. Astu, let there be. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Give me a moment. Starting to weigh down on my. Translation. In obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Sri Krishna. In obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Sri Krishna entered the arena of the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhana. And while there, he shortened the lifespans of the opposite party by his merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. Please repeat. In obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Sri Krishna entered the arena of the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhana. And while there, he shortened the lifespans of the opposite party by his merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. In the Bhagavad Gita, 1:21-25, Arjuna ordered the infallible Lord Sri Krishna to place his chariot between the phalanxes of the soldiers. He asked him to stay there until he had finished observing the enemies he had to face in the battle. Does everybody know what a phalanx is? If you don't, raise your hand. Phalanx? I'm going to call somebody here. Okay, so everybody knows what a phalanx is. You don't know what a phalanx? Okay, so you tell Prabhu here what a phalanx is. A little louder, please. Yes, and in addition to that, they're very closely knit together from side to side and from front to back. So it looks like one gigantic mass. And if you look at the Bhagavad Gita, I don't know about it's this edition, but one of them, the inside cover shows exactly that, a huge, gigantic phalanx. So, he asked him to stay there until he had finished observing the enemies he had to face in the battle. When the Lord was so asked, he at once did so, just like an order carrier. Just like an order carrier. And the Lord pointed out all the important men on the opposite side, saying, here is Bhishma, here is Drona, and so on. The Lord, being the supreme living being, is never the order supplier or order carrier of anyone, whoever he may be. But out of his causeless mercy and affection for his pure devotees, sometimes he carries out the order of the devotee like an awaiting servant. My apologies. I'll repeat that. But out of his causeless mercy and affection for his pure devotees, sometimes he carries out the order of the devotee like an awaiting servant. By executing the order of a devotee, the Lord becomes pleased, as a father is pleased to carry out the order of his small child. This is possible only out of pure transcendental love between the Lord and his devotees. And Bhishmadev was quite aware of this fact. He therefore addressed the Lord as the friend of Arjuna. The Lord diminished the duration of life of the opposite party by his merciful glance. It is said that all the fighters who assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained salvation by personally seeing the Lord at the time of death. Therefore, his diminishing the duration of life of Arjuna's enemy does not mean that he was partial to the cause of the opposite party, to the cause of Arjuna. I'll read that again. It does not mean that he was partial to the cause of Arjuna. Factually, he was merciful to the opposite party because they would not have attained salvation by dying at home in the ordinary course of life. Here was a chance to see the Lord at the time of death and thus attain salvation from material life. Therefore, the Lord is all good. and whatever he does is for everyone's good. Apparently, it was for the victory of Arjun, his intimate friend, but factually, it was for the good of Arjun's enemies. Such are the transcendental activities of the Lord, and whoever understands this also gets salvation after quitting his material body. The Lord does no wrong in any circumstance, because he is absolute, all good, at all times. Amagina timirandasya gananjina shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. Repeating the translation, in obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Sri Krishna entered the arena of the battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhana, and while there, he shortened the lifespans of the opposite party by his merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. So in the first few sentences of the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear that when Arjuna asked Krishna to stay in a particular spot until he had finished observing the enemies he had to face in the battle, he did that. When the Lord was so asked, he at once did so, just like an order carrier. And the Lord pointed out all the important men on the opposite side, saying, well, here is Bhishma, here is Drona, and so on. So this is a very rather astounding statement in one sense, and in another sense it's not. It's astounding only because Arjuna is a, although advanced living entity, he's still not the Supreme Lord. And he's giving orders to the Supreme Lord. Drive here, drive there, stop the car. And I've heard it said, although I've never really confirmed this, although a number of devotees have mentioned this to me, that in the course of the battle, there are signals that the car warrior, the chariot warrior, gives to the charioteer, which Krishna was in this particular situation. Just like on a football game, they have signals. You know, they have hand signals that go like this, or they'll go like this. They have different signals to indicate a particular play that is to take place, what they must do on the field when the ball is in play on the next throw. So similarly, the chariot drivers and the car warrior, they had their signals. Now remember that when the battle is going on, the noise is horrendous. You can hardly hear anything. Remember, there are hundreds and thousands of warriors screaming, yelling, shouting, warrior call, rah! You know, this kind of a thing. They're going full at it. Besides that, in the background, there are drum beats, yum, bum, bum, and there are conch shells blowing. And there are elephants shouting, or whatever they call it, elephants, and then there are horses whinnying. What could you hear if Arjuna was to give Krishna a signal? What would he be able to hear? It would almost be impossible because of the noise all around. So therefore, they have their signals. And I was told that there is one of the signals is where you kick the charioteer. Kick the charioteer on one side, on the right side, kick him on the left side, kick him in the middle of the back, kick him in the upper back, kick him in the lower. All these signals mean a particular thing, such as turn right, turn left, go straight, make a circle, backtrack. So Krishna was getting kicked throughout this battle. And Arjuna was kicking him, but it was not a kick out of anger or hatred or jealousy or envy or any of these types. It was a kick basically out of love. He knew that Krishna wanted him to win this battle. And so he kicked Krishna in such a way so that Krishna would pull the horses in such a manner that Arjuna would be in a most fortunate or advantageous position so that he could kill more of the enemies. So therefore, it was a kick of love, which is the only types of kicks they could be between Arjuna and Krishna, since there was a very tight, loving relationship between those two. So sometimes devotees wonder, why is Arjuna taking the position of the car warrior, and why is Krishna, of all persons, who's the leader of leaders, who's the power of powers, who's the supreme personality of Godhead, he's the most perfect, most powerful, most amazing, why is he driving the chariot? Why is he the charioteer? That's considered in Kshatriya position, a very low position, a servant position. Whereas the car warrior, or the chariot warrior is considered the main position because he's the one who's going to kill the enemy. So Krishna accepted this position. Well, how did that come about? Did he just go on and just sit there and take that position? No, actually, it has a very nice little story behind it. When it was decided that there was going to be a war between the Pandavas and Kauravas, Duryodhana and Arjuna both wanted to obtain the armies of Krishna. Remember, those are the Yadavas, and the Yadavas are very great fighters. In the case of Arjuna, he would also not only like the Yadavas, but he would like Krishna as well, because he knew that if he had Krishna, you know, on his side, in some way, in some capacity, it would be a sure win, because no one can defeat Krishna. So, on that day that it was decided that there would be a war, and that these two leaders, Duryodhana and Arjuna, would want for their allies, the soldiers or the warriors of Krishna, they went to Krishna's palace, and Krishna happened to be asleep at that time when they entered his room. So Duryodhana sat down right next to the head of Krishna, okay? And Arjuna, who came in just a few seconds later, saw that there was really no position to sit next to the head of Krishna. So he took a seat at the foot of the bed of Krishna, which was his favorite position, because there he could look at the feet of the Lord and also glance up and look at the face of the Lord. So it happened to be that finally the Lord was sleeping, and he was sleeping on his back, and therefore when he would open his eyes would see Arjuna, he would not see Duryodhana, who was at his side of his head. So he did open his eyes, and he saw Arjuna, and then he looked and he saw Duryodhana, and he greeted them and said, "What can I do for you?" And so in fact, he spoke first to Arjuna. He said, "Arjuna, what can I do for you?" So then Duryodhana interrupted. He said, "Well, wait, I came first. So I would like to speak first, because I came into the room ahead of Arjuna. Therefore, I should get the first choice." So Krishna answered, and he says, "But I saw Arjuna first at my feet. Therefore, I will let him speak first." So he said, "I would, of course, like to have your allies, have you and your men as my allies." So Krishna answered and said, "Well, the situation is this. I am not going to fight in this battle, personally. So, I can give one of you my men, the Yadavas, and I can give the other one myself as a counselor, as an advisor." So, since Arjuna was given the first choice, He said, I will take you. So Krishna said, you don't want the army? No, no, I just want you, if I only have that choice. So one may wonder, why would he want, why would he want Krishna? Duryodhana, on the other hand, when he heard that Arjuna wanted Krishna, he was just almost jumping with joy, with ecstasy. Wow, I get the army? That fool, that idiot, stupid. Anyway, it's in my interest. So he was feeling so ecstatic in a materialistic way. Arjuna, on the other hand, was very ecstatic that he would have Krishna nearby, giving him counseling, giving him guidance, giving him direction. Just looking at him, he would be benefited. He'd be blessed. If he made any mistakes, there would be Krishna to help him, to guide him. So so that was the way it worked out. Why Duryodhana, he got the Yadus, and Arjuna got Krishna. But wait a minute. There was no agreement at that point as to Krishna being the charioteer. However, when they went outside, Arjuna said to Krishna, I have a favor to ask of you. And Krishna said, well, what is that? He said, I would like you to be my charioteer. I know there is no one better than you. So Krishna said, your charioteer? He says, yes. There is no greater gain for me than to have you not only guiding the horses, but for me, while I'm in the battle, in my peripheral vision, always seeing you. Because if I'm always seeing you, that is all auspicious. That is all favorable. How can I lose this war if I have you in my vision, in my sight? Because Krishna is auspiciousness personified. No one can do bad if he's seeing Krishna, unless Krishna wants him to do bad. And generally, as the purport says, Krishna only wants all good. And even that which appears to be bad is ultimately always good. So, therefore, Krishna agreed out of friendship that he would be the charioteer. Now remember, that's a servant position. But it was out of pure friendship. And so, because Arjuna wanted this kind of friendship, this kind of exchange of love, that Krishna would be his charioteer, and he also knew that Krishna would get a lot of pleasure out of doing a service for his great friend. Because that's the nature of friendship. If you're my friend, and I'm your friend, then, and you know that you like to be with me in some way, well then, I will ask you to do a service that will give you pleasure and give me pleasure as well. So in that sense, Arjuna felt that wherever there is Krishna, as it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, there will be victory. You know, there will be morality. There will be all good. And so for that reason, Krishna assumed the position of a charioteer. Okay? Again, Srila Prabhupada mentions here, the Lord, being the supreme living being, is never the order supplier or order carrier of anyone, whoever he may be. But out of his causeless mercy and affection for his pure devotees, sometimes he carries out the order of the devotee like an awaiting servant. And he enjoys this. This is part of his pleasure, of giving pleasure to his friend, giving pleasure to his devotee. The Lord becomes pleased as a father is pleased to carry out the order of his small child. And that's exactly what it is, although Krishna looks like an ordinary human being. Ordinary in the sense that he had two arms, he had two eyes, two nostrils, and so forth. Ordinary only in that sense. But Arjuna knew there was more to it than what meets the eye. He knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew that Krishna would not make a single mistake in his service, in his action. He knew that the dice, so to speak, were loaded if he had Krishna to drive the chariot into the proper or perfect places so that Arjuna could kill the maximum number of persons. So therefore, Arjuna was very, very satisfied with having Krishna right in front of him. As we know in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activity dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt. So, considering this point, Arjuna could see Krishna peripherally, on the side of his eye, even when he was fighting. So therefore, while he was seeing Krishna, he could still be bubbling with the love to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, or satisfy Krishna, and to win this. In other words, it was an inspiration, it was an encouragement, it was an enticement for Arjuna to win this battle. There's my friend, I'm going to please him. I'm going to do everything that will satisfy him. And seeing him is an inducement, it's an enticement, it helps him to remember that. Sometimes if you want to remember something and that something is out of view, we tend to sometimes or often even forget that something. And the result is that by forgetting it, we sometimes lose. And in losing that, it can be costly to us. Excuse me. In losing it, it can be very costly to us. So, Arjuna, therefore, chose Krishna for his helper, for his advisor, and also asked him to be the charioteer because he knew that only good, only greatness, only gain, only favor, only auspiciousness could come as a result of such a choice. And they also knew that Duryodhana was an abject fool. So he had the Yadavas. But how can the Yadavas, millions of them, how could they compare to Krishna? Krishna is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. He's present everywhere. He has all six opulence. He's beautiful. He's wealthy. He's strong. He's famous. He has knowledge. He's renounced. He is the greatest person in existence. So to have such a person near you, with you, close to you, and favoring you, could there be anything greater, better, grander for victory? So Arjuna was very smart. He knew exactly what would be in his best interest. And in the ultimate analysis, as we know, when the battle was finally over, the Pandavas were still the Pandavas. There were still five of them. The opposite side, who had millions and millions of warriors, I think it was 11 to 7, if I'm not mistaken. No, 7 million to 11 million. So they had nobody left except three. And one was Ashvatthama. The other one's Kripacharya. Does anybody know the name of the third person? I don't know his name, so if you know this name, but I know what his relationship was. Anybody know the name of the person? Anyway, he was the son of Dhritarashtra from his Vaish wife. Gandhari was one of his wives, and then he had another wife, which he took during the time that Gandhari was pregnant, and he had another son. So that son lasted, and he happened to favor the Pandavas, believe it or not, even though he was on the opposite side. So he lived. So he lived, and therefore that was the ultimate outcome. So whatever supposition Arjuna had about the outcome of the battle, by having Krishna as his helpmate, as his associate, was true, and it came to pass. Now, there's another point which is made here, that The Lord diminished the duration of life of the opposite party by his merciful glance. It is said that all the fighters who assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained salvation by personally seeing the Lord at the time of death. What mercy! Men fighting against Arjuna, fighting against his chariot, were going to become blessed and go back home, back to Godhead, if they were killed in the area where they could see Krishna. So this was complete mercy. They were freed of all bad reactions. They were filled with, as soon as they died, with an ecstasy, with an uplift. Instead of going down to hell or going to heavenly planets, they went to the supreme abode where those who were attached to Krishna would meet him in Goloka, and those who were not, they would go to one of the Vaikuntha planets, and they would, in the mood of servitorship or in the mood of of neutrality or serenity, would perform their service there. So, therefore, his diminishing the duration of life of Arjuna's enemy does not mean that he was partial to the cause of Arjuna, which an ordinary worldly person would think. I'll read that again. Therefore, his diminishing the duration of life of Arjuna's enemy does not mean that he was partial to the cause of Arjuna. His diminishing the lifespan of the enemy meant that he was, for the enemy, he was doing the greatest benediction, the greatest blessing, something they could not do on their own. So therefore, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am a friend to him. So here we see Krishna, although fighting against the Kauravas, he's acting as their benedictor. He's giving them blessings. He's bringing them back home, back to Godhead, by way of the express train. Express in the sense that, for example, in New York, they have the subways. They have an express train, and they have a local train. I don't know if they have that out here. So if you want to go to certain local stops, then you get on the local, and it goes four or five stops, and then you get out. But if you want to skip all those, then what you do is you get on the express. For example, I lived in Parkchester, and I would go to U Grand Circle, you know this, U Grand Circle, and get on the express there. It was on the middle track, and it would take you straight down to 125th Street. I don't know how I remember that, but I do. But it would take you down to 125th Street just from one stop to the other, and it would be fast. So Krishna gave those warriors who saw him while they were dying the opportunity to, instead of waiting 30, 40, 50 years, dwelling in so much misery, difficulty, trial, tribulation, problems, instead of all that, he shot them right back to the spiritual world. Is that a blessing or not? It's an incredible blessing, especially when he's on the opposite side. So Krishna shows his favor to all, and he does so equally. So as it's mentioned here, and as Prabhupada says it better than I do, the Lord is all good, and whatever he does is for everyone's good. Apparently, it was for the victory of Arjuna, his intimate friend. But factually, it was for the good of Arjuna's enemies. Yeah, he favored the enemies by getting them out of the world and back home, back to Godhead. Not all of them, but those who were seeing him during the time that they were dying. That's the way it reads here. It doesn't mean that persons who were 8 miles away, they necessarily went back to Godhead. They may have, due to their good merits. But it's mentioned here that they had to be seeing Krishna, and in seeing Krishna, that washed away all impurity. And as a result of that washing, they were pure, and they were now ready or worthy to go back home, back to Godhead. And whoever understands, now this is very important. Such are the transcendental activities of the Lord. And whoever understands this also gets salvation after quitting this material body. Generally, the non-devotees don't understand it. They're blocked. And Krishna makes sure they're blocked. If, of course, they want to become a devotee and they perform devotional service and they realize that this is a great path to be on, that's a different matter. Purification has already started. The Lord does no wrong in any circumstance because he is absolute, all good at all times. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Are there any questions? I see a hand going up. Okay. Have somebody brief Ananta Kirtan.
So I have two questions, but I'll ask
you can take
one at a time.
Please.
One of my questions is, in the purport, it explains how the enemies dying on the battlefield, like you were just explaining, is beneficial. It would be more beneficial for them to die on the battlefield than if they lived a long life and they died sitting at home. So my question is, sometimes we find like bugs in the temple room.
A what?
Like a little bug.
A bug?
An insect. Or, you know, the Sankirtan van, there's an insect or something. And, you know, out of trying to be merciful, we gently pick up the insect and we bring him outside. But wouldn't it be more beneficial, even if the insect got stepped on by a devotee, he died in the temple room and stepped on by a devotee, was here in the kirtan. So,
okay, the question is would it be more beneficial to just kill the bug?
Yeah, should we leave the insect? Should we leave the insect inside the temple, or should we try to bring him outside, thinking that he'll live a longer life?
You should try to bring them outside, because it does not state in anywhere in the scriptures that bugs should be allowed to run around in the temple. In fact, anything which is an interruption or a diversion or something that will capture our attention against the capturing of our attention on the deities should be removed, you see. We don't want anything in the temple. So we just put them outside. But also be careful how you put them outside. Try to get them so that you don't squash them. Because if you squash them because of inattentiveness, thoughtlessness, unfeelingness, that's also sinful. So while you're trying to do something good, to keep it's like dirt. We don't let dirt and filth accumulate. We take it out. We don't want Krishna looking at anything that would divert him from looking at his devotees who are worshiping him and glorifying him and loving him and surrendering to him. He wants to see that also. And what does he do? As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. He loves to give his rewards. That's a part of friendship. Next question. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
My next question is...
Wait a minute. I have to stop you a moment. Is there anyone else who has a question? Oh, I see a bunch of hands. So you have to hold it until I get finished with them, and then we'll come back to you. Sorry about that. Unless it's directly related to this... No, different. Okay. Next... Okay. It looks like Bhrigupati...
Thank you, Maharaj. Very nice class. It's a little technical question. When you were talking about the number talking about the number of people that were involved in the Battle of Kurukshetra, and I wasn't clear. Is 7 to 11 a ratio? Because then at one point you said 7 million to 11 million.
That's what I read. One of the...
Because there's...
Seven million to 11 million.
Okay, so I'm just wondering, how do we understand that in relation to the information we got a couple of weeks ago that there was 640 million killed in 18 days? So, I mean, maybe it sounds like if for that to be the correct, 7 to 11 would have to be a ratio, because if it was just 18 million, you know, 7
but
and 11 is
18. Let me just mention to you that there are over 100 translations of Mahabharata, and many of them are different. They completely differ from one another in certain areas. There are certain areas where the same verses appear in all of them, which was called the critical edition that came out, and the presumption was that hopefully those were the verses that Vyasadeva wrote. So I'm not prepared to answer that because there are so many contradictions,
differences and uncertainties as a result of this. So I stand with my mouth open and my tongue out, stating, sorry, I don't know. Okay? Any other? Yeah, just in the back. I have a PhD here now. I'm really shaking.
Thank you, Shamala. Thank you so much. So, Srila Prabhupada refers to the Bhagavad Gita verse Janma Karma Chametivya.
I missed those last words, Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada refers to the verse in Bhagavad Gita about one who knows the understands the birth and activities of Krishna, he's liberated. My question is, what does that understanding entail? What does that understanding of Krishna's birth and activities entail that can free you on from the...
question. In other words, how does the devotee gain the understanding from Krishna? Is that the question?
So one type of understanding might be to know the story, right? Every Indian would say that, oh, Krishna, I know, right? But what does that understanding entail? What does it mean to understand Krishna that that understanding can free one from the cycle of repeated birth and death?
Yes. In other words, how do we understand Krishna in such a way as to become free from birth, death, disease, and old age and go back home, back to Godhead? Well, Krishna mentions that very clearly in the... 10th canto, 10:10, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they may come to me. So that's the first qualification. One has to have love for Krishna. And what does it mean to love Krishna? It means to do things which he likes. There are 9 forms of devotional service, which Prahlad Maharaj enunciated, and which the Lord expressed a liking for those. And those 9 are repeated again and again in various Puranas. Chanting the Lord's holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worship. I'm not going in the right order, but hearing the Lord's name, chanting the name, remembering Krishna, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, having practical service to the Lord, friendly association with the Lord, and surrendering one's body, mind, and words to the Lord. So that's the means. By doing what Krishna wants us to do, that will cause Krishna to give us his grace, and that grace will touch upon us in such a way that that which was not understandable before becomes understandable later. And Krishna says... in that 10:10, and then you go to 10:11. First, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they may come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna will give a sincere, serious, dedicated, devoted servant of his whatever knowledge he has to have to go to the next highest level, a next highest step, to come closer and closer and closer to him. He wants us back more than we even want to go back, so he will do whatever is necessary. But we have to strive to try to be worthy. Actually, we never can be worthy. We've committed too many sins. But any effort that we make, Krishna credits, and he gives high credit. If we take one step towards him, he takes 10 towards us because he loves us so much. Like any loving father, a child may make a mistake. He may break something which is costly in the home. But the child is only 3 years old. What are you going to do? Beat him up? You know? Even though you told him not to do it, his learning has to be perfected. So the father again tells him, no, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And the child gradually comes to learn. Similarly, Krishna in the heart tells us, and we think it's our own idea coming to fruition. But it's not. It's an idea coming from Krishna, and he makes us or causes us to think it is our idea. Okay? And that's a little bit of Maya there, but that's yoga Maya. And sometimes a devotee needs to feel a little uplift, needs to feel that he's developing some smartness. That's not ideal. But he may need it at an earlier stage. At a later stage, he kicks out any form of self-love, self-grandeur, or self-glorification, or self-applause, or any form of egotism. He gets rid of that because he knows that that causes him to think of himself as higher, greater, bigger than anyone else. And he forgets Krishna. And that's not what is wanted. So if we forget ourselves so that we can remember Krishna, that's a useful, beneficial tool to go higher in Krishna consciousness. Okay? Huh? No, last question. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. Was there somebody else? Somebody, one of the Matajis here? Yeah, please. Yeah, feel free.
Hare Krishna.
I don't want to show that I'm being prejudiced to the to this side of the room. Please, nice and loud, Matajis.
Okay, so this is a kind of practical question. Because the chariot is on the battlefield, does that chariot float above?
I'm not hearing anything. Go ahead. You're a little bit too close, and there's sound spreading out as a result.
You were saying that, and someone said the other day that the charioteer, that the person Arjuna would kick Krishna to give directions.
Kicking him?
To the,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I mean, if you think about it practically, even if the chariot was not driving on the ground on a bumpy battlefield with